spend a while with you in the fourth chapter of the book of the Ephesians, the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, and the fourth chapter. You know, of course, that Paul begins a section of his epistle here, and it breaks nicely into chapters 1, 2, and 3, and then 4, 5, and 6, this letter. And he starts off this last part so wonderfully, well, he might. He finishes up the first part of the letter with that wonderful prayer that he prays we might be filled with. Actually, the Greek preposition there is into all the fullness of God. Filled into all the fullness of God. That rather alters it. Because you see, I haven't been filled into my tea. My tea's been filled into me. I did it quite nicely, and so I'm full up with tea, whatever it is. But my tea's not full up with me. Tremendous difference. You hold that very clearly. Filled into all the fullness of God. Bless the Lord. It's rather like all the rivers running into the sea, but it never overflows and never seems to get filled up. It's a very tremendous and glorious truth. How truly does nature speak to us, beloved? God has embedded the principles of eternity in his exposition of nature. And it's a tremendous thing for our hearts to grasp. And he says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So don't start thinking about this except in a very acknowledged sense that you're very limited and won't understand much. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the churches unto the ages of the ages. And it's a wonderful thing for our hearts to grasp this. And then he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. He's imprisoned by the Lord, and it's wonderful to be imprisoned in this great revelation, isn't it? I'd like to be imprisoned in a revelation that has heights and lengths and depths and breadth, and then laugh at the devil if he tries to shut me up in iron bars. Wouldn't you love to be here? He's imprisoned in immensity and infinity and eternity. He's imprisoned in there, and of course nobody else can take you prison after that. Not once you're there. Not once you've got a heart that's exercised by God. In God himself. Remember that, because what he has to say next, you may wonder why I'm taking a little time now. What he has to say next is developed from this. We've been cursed by sectional reading of the Bible and limited verse preaching. We've been cursed by it. That we are not rather led to sweep through these great letters in their immensity without stopping at a chapter and keeping on and on and on and on and to and fro and trafficking in the great things of God's revelation, his wonderful mind as well as his glorious spirit, the things he says as well as the person he is. And coming thereby, because of saturation in this, absolutely imprisoned by the Lord, so that you've forestalled all that men or that the devil may do, and this is what Jesus Christ intends you to do, I can assure you, he'll let you be imprisoned by men if you will first let him lock you up in himself. But if he can't get you there, he won't trust you to go to prison, so don't worry. If he can't get you there, he'll never trust you with the greater thing. And this is a thing for your heart to grasp, that God has a way of drawing us out of outward things entirely and giving us this inward revelation, and our life has got to be a constant concentration, upon all truth, and it has to be an open, as it were, fountain or river or what it is, just beating it out, flowing it out, living it out, so that in the end outside things don't touch you and nothing hurts you anymore, harms you anymore, nothing reaches you anymore, because God has achieved what he's after in your life. All right. I therefore, he says, remember again, let me talk to you, that he's talking about you being filled into all the fullness of God. You're not really able to understand what God says unless this is already so in your life. Unless you've got these great chapters, 1, 2, and 3, although you have to live in this world, you'll never make head or tail of it. You'll never understand church doctrine. I want to talk a little bit about that, actually. This is the way to approach it. And it's sadly because people have not come from this position. That all sorts of the wildest guesses, wide of the truth, have been made and expounded by men, because they haven't understood that the introduction to chapter 4 is chapters 1, 2, and 3. The prisoner of the Lord beseeches you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, if I said to you, what is the unity of the Spirit? I wonder what you would say to me. Well, beloved, referring you back to the remarks I have just made as introduction, I want to say that the unity of the Spirit is God. That God is a unity. Now, this is the thing that you and I have to see. And every revelation of God, everything he says, the book, the church, we're coming to that presently, all doctrine, everything, is based on and is an exposition of and a leading out from that glorious unity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you are to keep that unity. You are to keep it. You are to keep the unity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I think lots of people have to get on their knees and apologize to God when they get back, because they've carved him up. When they get home, they've carved him up. And this is one of the major tragedies of our age, beloved. And in these days when men are reaching out and groping to be able to explain things, everybody gets a bee in their bonnet that they've got to be able to explain things. Avoid this if you possibly can. Just live in the reality of God. You are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. I'd like to be able to spend a couple of hours with you in this epistle tonight, just along the line of the unity of God. And from the unity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, which is a unity of spirit. God is spirit. It's a unity of spirit. Three glorious persons in the great beings, God, the Spirit. Amen. From this tremendous unity, there is a sevenfold statement of unity, which we may read Here it is. Verses 4 and 5 and 6. There's one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And there you have the sevenfold statement of the unity. We not only have to keep the unity of God, we have to keep that. Glory be to God. The only way you can keep it is by coming into it via the revelation of chapters 1, 2, and 3. See? And you live, if you like, at last by the glory of the revelation of Scripture, in filled into all the fullness of God, into this marvelous love, these heights, lengths, breadths, depths, immeasurable, unplumbable, incomprehensible in their fullness, and you've been filled into all this. Oh, praise God. You know, when I talk like this, I suppose I talk myself drunk, really. I think myself drunk. And I just sort of, oh, amen. I want to give up and lie back and drink in and stop thinking and only be thrilled. And with the thrill comes the knowledge. It's with the basic things of life that knowledge comes, not with stuffing your brains up with it. You learn this. This is the trouble. Everybody keeps buying books and all this sort of thing. Wrong thing to do. Lie back into God. Let God teach you. Let God show you. Let God saturate you. Let God be God to you, will you? And you be what you should be to God. He wants to satisfy himself by pouring you into his fullness. How he does it, don't ask me. I know he does it. He required a cross and blood and Calvary and a tomb and everything to do it, but he didn't stop at that. And to bring us all to this tremendous place, he gave all. All right, abide there. Know this great unity. And here comes a statement that you're to keep. Now there's one body, one spirit in that body, only one. Only one spirit in that body. You're called in one hope of your calling, that being in that body, and in the glory and fullness of the spirit of that body, you'll become like your head. That's the hope of your calling. That you will become like your glorious head. That's Jesus. That's the hope of your calling. And he's the one Lord. And when you and his is the one faith that is brought to you by the Spirit. And when you exercise that one faith in the one Lord, you receive the one baptism, which will make you a member of that one body. You will be baptized in the Spirit into that body. Amen. And then you will know that you're alive and God's your Father. One God, one Father of us all, who's in all, through you all, and by you all. There it is. That's the unity. That's the doctrinal statement of it. Issuing from the unity of God. Amen. And you see, they're all in it. There's the Father, there's the Lord Jesus Christ, there's the Holy Ghost. We're all in it. There's the body. Praise the Lord. You see? All glory in all, over us all, through us all. Praise God. Can't you feel yourself filled with all this fullness of God? Can't you feel it? You should begin to feel it. You start believing it first. And then you get, mind you, there are spiritual feelings. I'm not talking about fleshly. Spiritual feeling. We've got to keep these things very distinct in our mind. I was at a meeting last night. I wasn't supposed to be going to any meetings, but it usually happens. soon as you sort of heave insight, someone shouts out, we're going to have a meeting. And we got together, and at the end of this meeting, last night, God really sort of worked among us. He's wonderful. And I said at the end, now, if I was to give an invitation to you to respond to what you've heard tonight, would you answer? And I allowed about two ticks to go by. One, two. And a young man in the front lifted up his head, and the tears were streaming down his face, mingling with his beard and running down here, and he sobbed out, oh, give me an invitation. I want to come. Alright, I said you'd come. And another man fell on his knees here, and then another one there. Oh, God came. And it was wonderful. Well, this is what I want to get to. He simply knelt there, and I never had to touch him or do anything. He started to tremble and shake, and he frothed and he blew. And he called out at one period, and he said, oh, God, I've never felt like this. And before, and he said, oh, what's happening? And he started to speak in tongues, and wonderful. And he banged the floor and he kicked in the head. And then I said, oh, out of them, you devil. In the name of Jesus. That's right. Come out of them. You see, this is the deception, physical feelings. Many are being carried to hell on the bosom of the devil by that. Praise God. And he lay there till the burnings burned out of him and all the sort of tinglings died out of him and the flames shooting off his fingers and his fat fingers all receded. And God normalized him in manhood after the blessed pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What a tremendous thing it is, beloved. Amen. To realize you are to know the glories and the raptures and the wonders and the loveliness of being imprisoned in liberty. Of being set free in bondage in God. Of being a human being. God is in God. That's your home. That's your destiny. You should be enjoying your predestiny. And the glory of it all is that if you tonight, whoever you are, will come down off every other sort of doctrinal shelf and climb down all these other trees and will accept the statement of truth as it's here, that there's one body and the only one way into it is to be baptized in the Spirit. You're baptized in the Spirit into the body, so 1 Corinthians 12 says. That's the one baptism. Amen. What takes place after that is wonderful. There are further experiences, but it's not the baptism. And God wants to lead us on into the great truth. You're baptized into one body. Oh, how wonderful it is. There's only one Lord. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. There's only one God, Father of us all. Oh, it's all so precious. Now, are you keeping that? You won't keep that unless you keep the first unity. You must keep the unity of Father and Son and of Holy Ghost. And then you must keep the unity of the statement of truth. You must in no wise minimize it, nor carve it up, nor add to it. Nor any such stupid human thing, but you must believe what God says. Amen. Glory be to his name. Now, after this, Do you realize there is not yet another unity? It's in this chapter. And of course, the one body is made up of a unity. And so you get the great statement concerning the church. Unto every one of us, verse 7, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Amen. He led captivity captive. All prisoners from now on, by the will of the Father, have got to be his. His prisoners. He led a multitude of captives. Praise God. That's always referred to the Old Testament saints and so on and so on. I want to tell you, when he ascended up on my high, he took me captive too. He took me captive. Praise God. I only sort of became aware of it hundreds of years afterwards. I only became sensible and sensitive to the revelation of God these hundreds of years, these centuries later. But I know, my beloved, that when he ascended up on high, having hung on that cross and died for my sin and slain our old man and slain my personal self man, my selfhood, and then ascended up on high, amen, he destroyed all my bondages. he led me captive. He led my captivity. He brought me right out of it. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He just did it. He just did it. Isn't it what a thrill it is? I sat talking to dear brother Len Moles a little earlier today, and we were talking together. And I said to him, there had been some need all around us, and God had done some glorious things. And I said, brother, have you ever read your New Testament after people were baptized in the Spirit and were really regenerate in the Church of Jesus Christ? Have you ever read that anybody ever needed deliverance after that? Have you ever read it in the New Testament? He said, no. But people want to read it into it, though. That's what they want to do. Yeah, everybody's got a Bible of their own. They've written their own Bibles. That's the trouble. You see, beloved, when he ascended up on high, he, don't you just think of Old Testament saints here? People are too proscribed in their thinking. He did it. It was all done. Once and for all, it was all done. Let your heart link in and get united with this tremendous revelation. Let the Spirit of God bring you into the great knowledge of God. Let your heart become inflamed with it. Yield to it. It's this hesitant self that won't let itself go. That's the real truth. But to really let yourself go, to believe God. When you believe God, you've got to believe God with all you've got. All your energy, all your zeal, all your emotion, all your intellect. It's got to be everything. People always want to treat God very politely. God refuses that. God refuses it. I sat and talked with someone. I think you better edit this tape system. I sat and talked with someone that it's almost a trouble that you don't refer to things that happened 20 years ago. They only happened 20 minutes ago. It's a little bit too recent. But what's the use of only having testimonies about what happened 20 years ago? I was talking with someone not so very long ago, you see. And this person, can you tell me what's wrong with me? I dare not tell you all the positions this woman's held in the world, probably, that you will have heard of names, famous name. What's wrong with me? She said. I said, has ever anybody told you you've never been born again? She said, you trying to tell me I'm not saved? I said, you tell me whether you are. You tell me whether you are. I said, go on, you tell me. My book tells me that if I'm born again and I enter into the kingdom of God, then it's righteousness, peace, and joy. And the Holy Ghost. Are they in your life?
No.
Have they ever been? No. No, you tell me. You tell me. Yeah. And they're talking about pre-Pentecost and post-Pentecost. The devil doesn't get dumped about that. It's laughable. The whole truth. Yes. Did that. But anyway, let's carry on. I said to this precious soul, I said, have you ever realized that you've got to believe God is a primitive woman? Don't you realize a primitive man hung in primitive nakedness and agony for hunger for you? Such was his hunger for you, this primitive man. And if you don't respond on this primitive level, you'll go to hell. That's right. And we always want to be polite and treat God as he's the great victorian instead of the great victor. That's the trouble. Hallelujah. Why don't you admit these great basic deep things that you can't get satisfied? Psychiatrists like to sort of jumble and jangle about. Why don't you admit them? God wants you to admit them. He admitted being absolutely in love, totally stark, hungry for you. Come down on this earth. He never hid behind a facade of polite language. Amen. And unless deep calls and responds under deep, you'll never get anywhere. But God, the thing with God, we want to treat God in a religious way. That's the last thing he wants. Amen. He doesn't be treated in a religion of incense and all the stuff. He didn't start to he hid himself behind a veil when that was all going. Why don't you read your Old Testament? Hid himself from that. No, he exposed himself to this. After he exposed himself to stench and filth and flies and vulgarization and rottenness, you see, exposed himself to it. Glory! Don't you see? And it was your filth. Come on, admit it. Come down from those basic depths of you. Come down there. Try and smear it over with the religious filth. That's right. Praise the name of the Lord when we see what God's really at. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The things we try to control and contain and keep and shut our eyes to. No. Yes. That's it. Face it. Admit it. Now get down on that level and you'll meet God. That's where he is. That's where he is. Glory. And it's so precious. It's so glorious. And first, you have to send the Holy Ghost to convince you of this. Holy Ghost has to come and convince you of this. You think everybody would be ready to sort of confess it and admit it. But you see, now the Holy Ghost has to come and convince it. Of course, I read all the best books and speak in the politest language and say the nicest prayers. And all that, God won't have anything to do with it. Isn't this lovely? Well, anyway, this was happening not so very long ago. But let's come down to this tremendous truth. How goes it with you, beloved? How goes it with your hearts? Where are you in all this manner? Ah me, I fear the human mind peruses the Bible and reads the best books in order to quote them to God, instead of just sinking down, not into hell, but into the basic state of your own humanity and facing God there.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then God will say, well now, that's marvelous, because you know that's where I came. I became the basic state of your humanity. Mm-hmm. And he said, now, it's from there I left you. Isn't it lovely? Isn't it so glorious? So that you can come into the basic state of his deity and divinity, and that is love, filled in all the fullness of God, filled in the heights and lengths and depths and breadths, to know the love of Christ. But you know, it's so simple. I find people try, and I don't try. I gave that up years ago. I confess to you, I don't try a scrap. I think I was such a fool that God had to show me in the end, that I should have made a bigger fool of myself still. You see, it's all so easy. It's always the lame who take the prey. Yes. It's an amazing and glorious thing that God wants your heart to see. He led your captivity captive. And he gives them to men. And then, so he comes down, and you know, he gives apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We're a unity. The unity that you're to keep is the unity of the body. As well. It's no use having your head stuffed up with a perfect statement of unity of doctrine. Our last scripture. And never, never be in the place where you keep the unity of the body. Someone said to me only so very recently, said to me, What's the trouble? I get exhausted. I get down. I've got no reserves to meet the situation. And this person was a person that's out in the work of God, shall we say. And again, a famous name I won't mention. I've got no reserve. I said, this is it, because you've ignored one basic principle of God, and you cannot ignore any of these fundamental things of God and go on with God as you should. So said this person, well, what is it? I said, you don't belong to a properly functioning church. That's right. You're not in a true body, where the body is just ministering to itself in the perfect love, in the glorious light, and building itself up. So that the more you work, the stronger you get. And the more you give, the more you're refreshed. This is the law. And why aren't people here? Because they will have their own set up. They will have what they say. We've been trying to do this and trying to do the other, and God knows they're lovely brothers and sisters. But they're not keeping a basic law in the spirit. Well, of course you can't ignore spiritual laws and go on as you should. You can't do that. You've got to be in a properly functioning body. It doesn't matter whether they call themselves this or that, or don't call themselves anything at all. God's not interested in that. He's not interested in what are called historic denominations, any more than he's interested in these upstart house groups. He's not interested in those sort of things. He's only interested on whether there's a proper body. It doesn't matter whether you get men bleating about historic this or modern this.
does it matter about that? We could all, I could stand up and preach marvellous sermons about that. That's got nothing to do, well, I hope they'd be marvellous, but you know what I mean. It's ever so easy to do that. The thing is, beloved, is that you've got to have a body functioning. I said, this is your trouble. Oh, he said, that's trouble. He said, how about you? Have you got that? I said, no. Of course I can't do what I did 10, 20 years ago. I said, I seem to get refreshed all the time. Praise God. This is what God is indeed. God's not a lunatic. But people took that to 7 years. He'll excuse me using that word about himself. It's because it's the human approach there. It's as though, of course, a lunatic. He's made it so sweet. If you get physically tired, whatever kind of tired, I see brother showing his hands today, evidence that he's doing some hard work. You see. He showed me blisters on his hands that had broken because he's been working hard. You see. Well, you feel he gets a good night's sleep, he'll be alright in the morning, he'll be able to work hard all day tomorrow. Don't you, brother? Your brother? Well, this is right, it's absolute sanity. As long as he's not got any deep sickness in his body, he'll be alright. Of course he will. I said, oh, well, you know, of course I don't get that. He's got, what I do, I get weary, you know. I have to sit up and apply myself. And it's all right, just get a good night's sleep, brother. You'll be all right. Yeah. What's wrong? Mm-hmm. And mind you, do get a night's sleep. Don't sit up till 4 o'clock. Well, it's absolutely right, beloved. It's the same and as simple as that. And if people go out and work for God, and they give, and so on and so on, just let them get back in the proper body. There's all fighting. You've got to keep the unity of it, you see. You're not an isolated unit. Jesus wasn't an isolated unit. He said, Father's with me. He said, Father's in here. You've got to keep the unity of spirit. Jesus had to. Got to keep the unity of the spirit. It's a syntax. It's all based on God. Everything's based on God. Next time you want to go to sermon, really, it's based on God, not on Bible exposition. You understand that? And if you don't understand it, give up preaching. You've never been a preacher yet. Never. Excuse me talking to you like this, somebody ought to talk to me like this about 15 years. Yeah. Perhaps longer than that, but you know what I mean. This is the whole revelation. Oh, when God visited me and opened the heart of this. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. You've got to keep the unity. In the bond of peace. You need to forbear one another because somebody will come up with a bright idea sooner or later. Well, bear with them. Forbear with them. You know the way to forbear, don't you? Love is the medium and the quality of forbearance, you see. If you love the chap and you know, oh dear, he'll come up again next week. But you see, you're going to meet him on Thursday night and oh, well, forbear. You see, it's love. You've got to be filled into all this great love of God. You've got to be a captive there. Your being has got to be gotten hold of by the Spirit of God and held there in this glorious revelation, this face-to-face, spirit-to-spirit knowledge of God until you have become a complete absorption of God and you are saturate and satiate with God. That's what's got to happen with you. You're filled into all His fullness. What a glory. And isn't this the tale of your life? I confess it to you too. This is the tale of my life. So this, just as though the Spirit of God comes on, He says, here, some more fullness here that you didn't know before. He fills me in on that. And he fills me into that.
Very central.
With an understanding. With an understanding. This is what Paul means when he says, in understanding, become a man. Become a man in understanding. Will you do that? The unity of the Spirit. And I want to say to you, beloved, perhaps I ought to mention, that there is no unity outside of the Spirit. Spirit unity is the only unity there is. That is all. That's right. You unite and become one spirit with God. One, I say, one, not you and God. God, not you, God. You become one spirit with the Lord. And this is that which Paul means in Romans chapter 8, where he says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, that's right, now you've got the Christ Spirit, you're none of his. You're one Spirit. What a glorious thing this is. I and my Father are one. I and my God are one. I'm one Spirit. You know, if you ask me to explain that, I can't. But I know it, though. I know. See, this is the tremendous revelation that our man knows in his heart. It's the dearest thing of his life. It's that sweetest thing that he's almost afraid to say and talk about it. And he can't explain it to anyone. It's near blasphemy, yet it's absolute truth. It's the nearest thing to error and heresy, and yet it's the absolute eternal revelation of God. That's the thing. That's where a man and a woman has to know this great revelation of God is talking about. Amen. That I and my Father are one. I want to guard it. I want to guard it. Then the Lord says, you can't. So I've got to keep it. I've got to keep it. It's all right. Relax. You're a prisoner, but you're free. All this paradox. This paradox. You see, have you ever seen a stick? Have you ever seen a rod, a stick? Eh? Ever held a stick in it? Well, it's got two ends. One end and another. It's only one stick. It's got two ends. Paradox, isn't it? Say, this is the end. Oh, that's the end. It's only one stick. It's joined. Those two ends are joined. It's one stick. But they're apart. They're opposites. Glory be to God, they're one. Isn't that right? What a truth God is saying to us. You can tell me I'm at the other end, the extreme end of the stick from God. You can tell me what you like. But I say, but look at all the stick in between. I'm one. You see, I'm one. This is marvelous. It's wonderful. I'm one. With the Lord. And I'm going to keep this unity. And I'm not going to let anybody take it away from me. And I'll fight for no other unity. I don't know that I'll fight for this. I've had to die for it. That's right. That's the only way you can have it. You've got to die. You've got to be brought up into that one. I'm in the body. There's one hope of the calling. Have you heard the call? Have you heard the call? Hey, Jesus, my hope's up there. He's my hope. Praise God. He's my everything. He's my hope. He's there. Glory, glory, glory. One day he's going to come back and he's going to say, there you are. He is. He's like me. I've done it. He's like me. That's my hope. Glory. One hope of my calling. That's right. He called me and he called me so long. He said, well, now I'm coming to get you. It's time to get you. I'm alive with this life. Amen. Now, there's only one hope of the calling. Have you got a different one from me? I know you have, and I can feel your unity. Why should I pick on the wall? Perhaps if you had sat here, Bill, I might have made you the guinea pig. But this is the tremendous truth. And you are to keep it. You are to keep it as it is delivered unto you. Paul said to Timothy, you're to deliver it to faithful men also. And they shall, if you like to use the word, deliver it to others. Deliver it to others. And because men haven't been found faithful, we've lost the first delivery of the truth. And though the words of it are in the book, hardly anybody knows what it's all about. It's faithful men that we're meeting. Men who know that they've been filled into all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. Yes. I walked with someone the other day. I was walking along side by side, and this person said to me that a lady had spoken to her and had said this. She said, that lady summed it up to me. I said, well, what was it she said? She said, in this great truth, she said, you've got to let your spirit go in and then let your mind catch up with your spirit. I've been trying to live with letting my mind go in and then trying to bring my spirit to catch up with my mind. That's what most people are doing. You let your spirit go in. My spirit's in it. Now, when your spirit's in it, in the unlikeliest times you can glory and shout and praise in God. In the unlikeliest times, because your spirit's in it. So you can't explain anything. Try to get in by your mind and drag your spirit into it. Oh dear. You find that there's a notice that trespassers will be prosecuted. That's right. You can't. You let your spirit go in. Mind catching up with spirit. I can tell you my mind's busy catching up with my spirit all the time. But it's very easy. It's very easy. And that's why we read, I said I was finished, but how can you finish when you've got a book like this to preach on? In the book of the Ephesians again, this is why he says, that's right. In that first great prayer he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, verse 16, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, or for the acknowledgement of him, for the knowledge. You see? That's right. Get the spirit of the revelation. We've got the revelation of the spirit. Now get the spirit of the revelation. And then you'll get into the knowledge of it. And it's a tremendous thing. The eyes of your mind, the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your heart being enlightened. I can see it. can think of now, I can come a little nearer to talking about it and giving some kind of sensible statement about it. You see, this is the way it will work with you. God demands that you believe Him with an uttermost committal before you can ever explain anything. That's what He demands. Otherwise, you don't trust Him. And that's the thing that's always at stake. You don't trust Him. You don't trust Him about your future. You're afraid to think of tomorrow. Some of you, aren't you? Can't trust Him. And so tomorrow will be a total mess and your life will be a wreck because you won't trust Him now. You think He's so treacherous, so unworthy. He really ought to go to hell if He's so wicked to you. The tragedy of it is He did go to hell for you. And you don't trust Him. If you trusted Him without any more ado or reservation, you just cast yourself on basic, primitive you. Ugly, tormented, unrestful. Don't know what you are, where you are. Cast yourself on it. But you buy a book and you try to cast yourself on your understanding of a book. God won't have anything to do with it. It's that man on that cross. It's there. Glorious place of common trust between you and God. That's where you've got to come. Amen. So you can't rest. You can't rest in the day. You can't rest at night. Serves you right. What would you say? If somebody was drowning and I came along with a lifeboat and threw it for them and they refused to grab hold of it, what would you say? What would you say? Oh, a terrible thing. Mrs. Jones drowned. Terrible, I say, well, terrible. I threw a lifeboat to her. It landed almost over her head. She won't go like that. That's all she had. Whose fault would it be? And this is like, it's like this with God, beloved. It's absolutely like this with God. Total committal or none at all. Challenge of the devil every step along the line is to dare you to trust anything. That's the challenge of the devil. To dare you to trust anything. If you do, if you do, you'll find God in all heaven, eternal life. That's right. So the devil has to be God's trumpet. He threatens you, but God speaks to your heart. What a glorious thing this is. Are you going to keep the unity of the Spirit? Are you going to keep the unity of the Spirit? Alright, God, the revelation, you know, seven's the number of perfection. Well, those seven things in the body itself, living, functioning, fulfilling your part, becoming perfect at it, absolutely adept, so that God may show you that what you've been filled into all the fullness of God, now you can build up one another in. Hallelujah. You can build up one another in it. Why can I build up another person in the body? Because God fills my heart with love. Because I'm filled into love. See? That's why I can do it. There's no cleverness about this at all. As a matter of fact, the one thing God demands is that you're not clever. That's the thing he demands. You haven't got to be clever. Amen. You haven't got to be clever at all. All you've got to be is love. That's right. And the Lord will give you such a ministry that I might well envy you. That's right. Amen. I talked to a man, I forgot what I was speaking about. I talked to a man, three different kinds of drugs in him. And one of the deadly ones, doped, tranquilized, all sorts of things, powers across his power, agony staring out of his eyes, keen businessman stumbling over his words, very set, immobilized by people that were trying to help him. What's the matter with me? He went along to see a man, and he slew him, absolutely slew him. He told him this, he told him that, he warned what he didn't say to this man, until he reduced this poor man to almost a trembling jelly. And I knew that in his youth he'd been aggressive. How I knew that, I can't tell you how I knew that. But I knew it. And all this tremendous thing, I suppose we spent 2 hours together, I don't know. And at the end, do you know when he went out and said to someone? Oh, he said the love of God. He didn't say, he didn't talk about deliverance. Oh. That's right. That's the ministry. The rest is how to apply it. Now may the Lord teach us to keep the unity of the Spirit. For all ministry comes from through your Spirit, and it's what your Spirit is united with. Keep that very clear. Your one Spirit at some place of union. Keep that very clear. It's the mightiest thing for you to understand. Just walking along, I thought I'd stop at that one. Walking along with someone, and we were talking. And I said, look, if you were thirsty, I could bring you a bucket of water. He said, yeah. That's right, you see. I said, but I'd rather be a river to you. Yeah, he said, I see. People bring brilliant gifts in buckets, you see. Buckets full of this and buckets full of that. This is the common with gifts. Instead of being a flowing river, the flowing river, you throw all the buckets in it. They'll all be full. You see, that's the glory of the revelation. It's so simple. This is so simple, beloved. It's so simple. Can't you see it? That's right.
I therefore the privilege of the Lord beseech you that you keep the unity. You see? He couldn't talk like that unless he kept it himself. God does not allow a man to give revelation unless he's in the revelation. Not in this covenant of the old, if they spoke about things they didn't understand. But not in this. So the Lord is moving upon us all. Hallelujah. If I said to you, you're going to keep the revelation, you're going to keep the unity, what would you do? Would you stand up? Say, I'm going to keep the unity. I want you to go and think about it. Think about things. Because if you believe the things I said are revolution, I have lots of ideas. And you'll have to reject a lot of other things. So I'm not going to make any kind of an appeal. At all. Except for an appeal for you to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's my appeal. To reject one set of statements and ideas in favor of another. Will in the end only reveal your immaturity. Unless God gives you the identical revelation in your own spirit, keep quiet about what you believe and what you don't believe. Take my advice. Then you'll be saved from spreading so much error in the name of truth. And move in the glory of the revelation of God. Amen. I'm going to keep on a long time, but I'm going to sit down. You just enjoy the Lord. Did you say you were stuck to the seat, sister? I didn't stick to the seat because I got on the feet. Now let's enjoy the Lord, shall we? It's just rejoicing.